Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Please allow me just find one more quotation.
Hare Krishna, I want to first of all, before I start, express my profound happiness in addressing all of you about the Kirtan London program. I also welcome those of you who are not directly involved in this project, but who give guidance and your well wishes to it. I would like to use this time which we have together to give a few inspirations. I remember many years ago when we had a holy name retreat in the island of Ish. It's a small little island in the Mediterranean Sea, just a little in front or before the coast of Croatia. And at that time there were many devotees, yeah, a few devotees actually, from England there, who had the idea to start a program which they would call Kirtan London. And we had invited these devotees to come, and others had come by propaganda of mouth, we say in German, you know, they had heard from others. And we had a gathering, or two successive gatherings, where we all explored various possibilities of having such a program. And then later, I was very, very pleased to hear that this program had actually taken off. It had started, and now, so many years later, I know the program is in good hands. I have heard that there is not only Kirtan London, but I was surprised to hear when I needed an medical ointment from Sydney that Radhika Ranjan said, oh, we have Kirtan London in Sydney, we can quickly organize the person in Kirtan London, Sydney, to send the ointment. What ointment is it? And I said, I don't know the name of it, but I know one Ella is that's the name of a person, is his, her uncle has produced this very efficient ointment, and she must have association with Kirtan Sydney, because she's very, very close to Krishna consciousness. And then a few days later, Radhika Ranjan had her photo of Ella from Sydney. We could, in other words, find with the program Kirtan London, Ella in Sydney with the ointment. That shows a little bit, showed me a little bit how well the program is spreading all over the world. So it becomes a global event. I want to sincerely congratulate all of you who are now presently serving in this program. I think we will see many, many wonders in this program, not only finding Ella with her ointment in Sydney by it. That's as likely as finding a needle in a heap of straw. Good. Today I would like to say or speak about a dimension in Kirtan which I feel personally to be very empowering and very inspiring. I think in many ways a Kirtan leader and also each Kirtan singer who is there in the chorus can be compared with a pujari, a priest. A priest goes into a sacred space, the altar. He forgets for a moment about his job. I've never seen a priest who is doing mobile telephone calls from the altar. He forgets a little bit about the world also. For the moment when he is on the altar, he is strictly keeping to the rules of the sacred dimension. What are the rules of the sacred dimension? It means to the main rule is you must focus on the sacred center, the center of worship, the deity, the Lord on the altar. Everything is meant for his pleasure at that time. I once had a very humorous reminder of this when I was in India, and there was a priest who didn't observe this main rule of the sacred dimension. He was doing his worship on the altar, and he had a radio in the sacred room on the altar, where there was a direct reportage of a cricket match. It was going on, and Kapil this, Kapil Dev that, so on. And the Swami who was heading our little group, some of you know him, Lokanath Maharaj, he said to the, he chastised the priest and said, "What are you doing? This is, you're doing, you're on the altar." And he said, the priest very boldly said, "I think Krishna likes cricket match." And you know, later this transaction was translated for me. It went on in Hindi. Then Lokanath Maharaj, being very respected and very very integra Swami, and went into the sacred realm and took the plug out of the room and said, "No, Krishna likes bhakti, not Kapil, not, I mean, Kapil is a nice man, but not the passionate cricket match. This is what we humans like." And the priest was immediately convinced that, that he knew that they know what is proper and they know what is improper, and he did not protest, and he, I think he never again listened to cricket, not even English football with Mr. Hurricane and so on. I know everything. I'm learning from Gaur Krishna all the details of the English culture. Joking. So then the sacred dimension, this is what this humorous example wants to clarify. The center is Krishna. And that is very much so when we are doing kirtan. We must know, and this is the wealth of our tradition, that when we do kirtan, we will glorify Krishna. I'm trying to find this quotation for you, but I think I won't waste your time any longer by me being a little distracted to find this quotation. Once Prabhupada, our spiritual master, as you all know, addressed this point in a lecture. He said, kirtan is meant for the glorification of Krishna. The kirtan leader is not there to please a crowd. He pleases Krishna, and by this, automatically everyone else will be pleased. And later he gave an example to clarify his point. He said, when you give water to the root of the tree, that one root of the tree, all the various branches, twigs, leaves, etc., will be automatically nourished by the water. So a good kirtan really means it is focused on Krishna. And everyone who is in the kirtan is invited to become something like a priest of the holy name, who is engaged in pleasing Krishna to a degree that Krishna may make his appearance. There is a very apt comparison in the Chaitanya Mangalam, a comparison of kirtan to what's going on an altar on the, or in the sacred area. There are some yagyas, as you know, sacrifices, and the kirtan is such a sacrifice. It is said the ear is the, during kirtan, is the sacrificial pit. The tongue is the ladle which is used to pour the ghee in the sacrificial fire. And the ghee is the holy name. That is put. And then the result is that the Lord appears much like the deity of a Vedic yagya is appearing from a yagya. There are, in other words, scriptural proofs that kirtan, in fact, is a priestly activity, an activity reserved usually for priests. Here in kirtan, everyone becomes a priest, a direct worshipper of Krishna, who is pleasing Krishna in the sacred realm of the sacred sphere of the kirtan. My dear devotees, this aspect of kirtan is the great treasure of the Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. Here we learn that we are all parts and parcels of Krishna, who indeed can approach the Lord personally to offer our sacrifice to him. It is possible. We are allowed. In fact, we are called forward to become direct worshippers of Krishna in a relationship of bhakti. That is our tradition. I have a few friends in the international kirtan scene. Some of them draw easily 8,000 people together. And one of these friends, he has died. He said to me, "You Hare Krishna devotees often do not know your unique characteristic. Whereas in the normal kirtan scene, often there is no clear distinction between God and the living entity. In fact, the Mayavadi kirtan think, well, the Mayavadi kirtaniyas think, well, we are all God, we just need to wake up to the fact, and then we realize it. You know, with such a concept, there is no place for worship, because for worship you need two, the worshipper and the worshipped, you know, or the object or person who is worshipped. If they are one, they fall together, and they can, the special relationship or rasa, which we call the kirtan rasa, cannot take place. What takes place is a musical or meditative experience, but not, strictly speaking, a very spiritual experience, experience where there is rasa or spiritual experience, which comes about only when there are two, you know, Bhakta and Bhagavan. This man, some of you know his name, he was initiated into the Vaishnav line. His name was Syamdas. He said, "This is your true wealth, this that you know about a relationship of worship between the one who sings the kirtan and the personality of Godhead who is listening to the kirtan and who reciprocates with all those who are engaging in kirtan. This is your wealth." As we were talking about this, we were on a walk through Vrindavan. We called it Braj roaming at that time, and it was our last meeting in this world. After this, he had a tragic accident on a motorcycle and left his body. And we talked as good friends talked. He said, "I want to show you a place which is very dear to me." So we walked through the field of Vrindavan. They were all yellow mustard fields. Oh, this smelled so good. And we went to a small little temple, and we climbed with the help of a tree on the roof of the temple. And then he said, "This place is very dear to my heart, and it will become dear to yours when I tell you what happened here." Then he told a beautiful story that Krishna is known as Gopal, the cowherd boy who is protecting the cows and who feels this is his dharma. So at the time of our story, Krishna was worshipped as Naji. Nad means Lord, and Naji is an affectionate term for him, on the top of a temple which was built by Madhavendra Puri. It was on top of Govardhan Hill. So there was a very dear devotee at that time living. His name was Kumbandas. And he would take the cow herd, you know, a few cows, maybe 30 cows, maybe more, of the temple for the daily grazing. These cows would go in the morning out into the field, when Kumbhandas would go with them and herd them, they would eat the shrubs and the grasses of Vrindavan, then they would make milk, and then Kumbhandas would bring them back in the evening, milk them, and the milk was then made into yogurt and or was cooked down, made into barfi, and it was used for the Lord's worship. It was known as the cow herd, or the cows of Naji, the temple. So Naji was so much liking the milk that, and he liked also his devotee Kumban, who was singing the whole day about Naji's glories, that he decided one day to leave the altar and walk with Kumbhandas and herd his own cows. So in the course of herding the cows, they came to this place where now this little temple is, where on the top of the roof I was sitting with my friend, and we were talking about this. And then Naji liked his to discuss with Kumban that so much that he forgot the time. And then, as he was still far away from the temple, he heard that the priest in the temple was blowing his conch shell, which signals to the devotees in the temple that now, when the third blast of the conch shell is over, the curtain will be drawn and there will be an arati to Naji on the altar. So Naji was a few kilometers away with Kumbhandas talking about many things, from Bhagavan to Bhakta, surrounded by his cows, when all of a sudden he heard the first blast from the top of the Govardhan hill. Naji said, "Oh, I've totally forgotten. I must run. But what is this? If the priest opens the curtain and there is a vacant spot where I'm supposed to stand and receive the worship?" So he started to run, but because they were in the midst of the forest, his garment got entangled in one of the plants, and then the second blast came. Naji panicked and he ripped himself away, and part of his garment got stuck at the thorny bush where it was entangled. And Naji ran and ran and ran and ran. Then the third blast came. Naji was totally out of breath. And then he somehow just made it into the temple, stood at the vacant spot, and when the curtain was opening, he was standing there. But there were drops of perspiration on his forehead from the very fast running. So the priest noticed, "Oh, he looks different." And he offered his arati. "Why does he look so different? What is different today?" At the end of the arati, he came just close to pick up the little pot in which the altar, which stood on the altar, and the little pot in which the water from the small conch shell, which is used to offer water to the deity, was poured into, and came close. And then he saw, "My God, what's with his dhoti? It's ripped into pieces. This is really different, this deity today. Where is the rest of his garment? He looks like a beggar today." Mm-mm. Then he did his puja, he closed the altar, and he looked at Nachi and said, "My dear Nachi," he was also a great devotee, this devotee, "you are so different today. Tell me, what did you do?" And Nachi was just, the altar was closed, the public was out. He went like, panting, "But you are totally out of breath. You made me run like anything," Nachi said. And then the deity explained, "I was innocently herding the cows with my great devotee Kumbhandas. Then I heard you. I totally lost the time awareness of time. Then I heard the blast on the conch shell and I had to run. What would be if the worshippers would see the altar vacant? They would suspect some foreign invasion or something, and that I was stolen from the altar." So Nachi bent said, "I was out in the fields. Kumbhandas is my witness." And then he said, "Please make a little pause after you have done three blasts on the conch shell and wait a little, so that if this happens again, I don't have to run so intensely to be there at time." And then the deity became silent. So the priest said, he only remembered one thing. Nachi said he had been with Kumbhandas, and Kumbhandas would be a witness. So when the cows came back in the evening, he went to Kumbhandas and told him what Nachi had told him. And he said, "Is that a lie? Was he out, or what was?" Kumbhand smiled and said, "No, he was there herding the cows. And I also remember when he started to run to be in time back to the altar, he ripped his dhoti." "You are exaggerating," said the priest. "You're making up a story." "No," said Kumbhandas, "why don't we go to the bush, and if the cloth is still there and it fits the deity on the altar, then you have your proof." So they went that same evening. They found the cloth, which was ripped away from the outfit of the deity. The priest took the cloth with him and held it to the deity, and in fact, it was the missing piece, just like Nachi had described. "So from this day on, my dear devotees, whenever there is an artik, the priest will make his, in the afternoon, will make his three blasts in the conch shell, poop, 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 and then wait. And only then he will ring his bell and open the curtain to avoid the Nachi, if he should ever play again out in the field, has to run. And if he is forgetful of his timings, that he doesn't have to run like this. My dear devotees, Vrindavan abounds with stories like this. Stories which all tell and spell out before us one message. The Lord is really there. The Lord likes his devotees. The Lord loves his devotees. And enter a personal relationship with that loving Lord. This is very clear when you hear the stories in Vrindavan told, as they are told in every village in the night. Where there is no TV, there are stories about Krishna. Unfortunately, there's a lot of TV nowadays. So, this is, the point of this story for me is, when you sing kirtan or when you spread kirtan, please know that you want to give people the kirtan experience. An experience where Krishna is in the center, where the Lord is in the center, an experience where the Lord reciprocates. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that this is the real need of each person. They want to have that freedom of the divine relationship. Prabhupada writes, the need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. That's a beautiful quotation. You will find it on page 66 of this book, The Living Name. I should not maybe say this. It's in the Bhagavatam 128, I should say. 128. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, you should be like priests, each one of you. What is the main... There are two functions which the priest must know. First is, Krishna's in the center. We had this already. And the second function of the priest is, he wants to lead people to experience the deity or Krishna. Imagine a forgetful priest who does not remember this. He is maybe well built. He comes out of the from the altar before the curtain. He is about to blow the conch shell to signal that the curtain will be drawn soon. So he comes out, looks over the assembled crowd of devotees, and thinks, wow, they have all come to see me. Then he will flex his muscles in highly attractive gestures. He will point out the new Krishna conscious TV in, what is it, tattoo, I love Krishna. See, I have a very attractive tattoo here. I have other features. My new dhoti with a Benares silk, and here's some border, very decorative. What else? My pitambara, my my shawl. When we would see such a priest, a self-centered priest, who does not understand his role to show people Krishna, at that time we would become highly disappointed with our priest, and we would say, you're not very fit for this priestly function. You may go, and we get another priest. Although he may not be as handsome as you, he will not be such a nuisance as you are. Isn't it? We would dismiss him. No, or dismiss her. You know, and say that. Later, you are too green behind the ears. Mature a little, and then we can consider inviting you again to do this service. A priest must know, I am making the deity visible. In other words, a kirtan singer who is supposed to worship the spiritual center, that is Krishna, who draws the attention on himself, is not really capable of a kirtan singer. I have organized kirtan melas, and sometimes there were bribes that give such and give me a spot. You will get this very suitable bribe for this favor. I said, Prabhuji, it's about something else. This is not about you, Kirtan Mela. It's about Krishna. You please first read a little bit in the scriptures and then come back. And by the way, you can sing 24 hours. You can sing in the chorus. You can sing exactly the same amount of holy names as you would do as a kirtan singer, lead singer. It's with the distinction that you would be in the chorus in your right place as a worshipper, and you want to be a kirtan leader to be worshipped. That is not right. Then the kirtan rasa cannot take place. If the pujari sits himself on the altar or moves himself in the center, the worshipper cannot really worship. The pujari is in the way of the experience, of the divine experience. So I feel as Kirtan London matures, you can also mature and understand you are the worshipper of the holy name. That means when you sing kirtan, put Krishna in the center. And the second is bring others to sing for Krishna. Encourage others. Don't stand in the way of others. Be transparent and show them Krishna. Maybe you do this by explaining a little bit before you sing that this is kirtan, what's the idea of kirtan. Maybe you do it by bringing yourself in a worshipful state of consciousness. Maybe you become transparent by making sure your audience really sings and understands how to participate. And then, my dear devotees, my dear friends, the real magic of kirtan can happen, which is you address Krishna and Krishna reciprocates to the bhakti, which is the only thing that attracts him to come and be present in the kirtan. It's a divine, you can create a divine space, a sacred space, where everyone worships Krishna with you, where everyone becomes a priest, where everyone becomes focused on the spiritual center, and later, when they have learned in Kirtan London how to perform Kirtan, where they everyone can become a Kirtan leader in his own right, in his community, in his home, and start worshipping Krishna there. This is something which I wanted to share with you. How do you like the analogy with the Kirtan leader being like a priest? Two things. The priest worships himself, and the priest enables and facilitates others to worship. No? It's very clear, I think, very, very simple and straightforward. That is the wealth of our tradition. And that is the, let me say, we can offer people actually an experience. It's called in Sanskrit a rasa, kirtan rasa, which happens when there's an exchange between the worshipper and the worshipped, the bhakta and Bhagavan. Then that very sweet taste, that it tastes really like Prabhupada describes, like the unlimited freedom and possibility which happens when the individual spirit soul meets the Supreme in that sacred space of the kirtan. When you sing kirtan with bhakti, with devotion, there's a great difference than singing kirtan without devotion. Jiva Goswami quotes a sacred scripture, the Matara Shruti. This Shruti says, bhakti brings one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, the devotion brings you to Krishna. Then next, bhakti reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After you are brought to Krishna, Krishna may still be hidden, but bhakti will reveal the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then bhakti brings the Supreme Personality of Godhead under control, and finally bhakti is stronger than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A wonderful wonderful thing. Prabhupada writes about this, that bhakti brings us. He speaks of the arrow analogy. Bana means arrow. The bhakti yoga system is just like an arrow aiming to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This bana or arrow is so swift that it goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, penetrating the regions of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. Not this bhakti, when you do kirtan, you will fly. That's a nice motto. You will fly like an arrow to Krishna. That is something, my dear devotees. It penetrates the worldly sphere. It goes beyond Brahman and Paramatma realization, right to Krishna. It's so wonderful that, and it's an experience which everyone has who is allowed to enter the sacred space of kirtan. I think very, very much that when you do kirtan, you have to bring those who join you into an experience of the sacred dimension. That may mean that you have to encourage them to leave for a moment their distracting thoughts behind, and you have to guide them in the experience, which is really an experience of a sacred atmosphere. And that in that atmosphere, the connection between the living entity and Krishna takes place. So if you forget everything about this lecture, only that at the end there was prasadam, then I give you one little word with you. Be a priest. Be a priest of the holy name. That can be remembered easily by all of us. No? That is easy. Be a priest of the holy name when you do this. I look at the leader of the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. Is that all right, Gaur Krishna? It is all right, good. Mm-hmm. My leader has approved. Isn't that a nice motto? You know, you tell the people, let us enter the sacred space now. Wow! Just like a priest does, who goes on the altar and worships. Wow, my God, this is this far out. This is something new. This is a new form of yoga, the priest yoga. You know, and you can explain very nicely, simply, what it means. And then, don't stand in the way, but move out of the center, Mister, and let the Lord be glorified. Hare Krishna. I will now secretly look at the wristwatch without you noticing it. Yeah. I have said what I wanted to say. What do you think we should do now?
Should we sing that?
I think we must sing a little. What do we know, Gaur Krishna? Many things. Furniture or not much in this part, so it means the echo is very strong. It was very strong. I felt like an ant who had lost himself in the mridanga, so strong the sound was. So, and Oxford Street, you can play as loud as you wish. There it's very desirable.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear devotees, are you remembering to worship the holy name? Two things you have learned, are you doing them or have you forgotten? First thing is, you enter like a priest a sacred space where your daily life is outside. Kapil in this cricket match, not required here. Mobile phone and WhatsApp messages, not required at the moment. And the second is, are you worshipping? Are you addressing with a worshipful mood? Please, you need to learn to apply what you have heard, otherwise you will immediately forget it. But when you apply it, it will become part of your spiritual journey. Everybody now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Play more chords, not just individual tones, chords.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One more time, please sing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare One more time, please.
Everybody, one more time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare.
Krishna. My dear devotees, during Srila Prabhupada's time, we often sat all over the world before the deities praying for Srila Prabhupada's health. There were very few times emergency. I think you know he had a heart attack when he crossed the Atlantic Ocean, and he had a heart attack in New York also. And later sometimes his health was fragile because he also did so much. So when there was a fragile situation for Srila Prabhupada, we always sat together as in the temples, and we chanted. And we chanted at first during the day when the deities were, when the curtains were open, and then when the situation required constant prayer, the curtain was closed, and we continued to chant. And at that time, Prabhupada had told us we should pray to Krishna, so we chanted and prayed to Krishna. And at that time, we older devotees learned this, what I wanted to explain today to you, that when you chant, you think of worshipping Krishna, just like when the deity are open, when the altar is open, you look at them, you sing for them, and sometimes you may feel, oh, a flower fell down, this means my singing is as awkward as that of a toad who was stepped upon by an English horse, you know. You feel like that, and many things happen. So then you also go the next step, that even when there is no altar, even when you are in a situation where you sing, let us say, you're posted on a stage and there are people of the yoga crowd before you, you nevertheless know, I'm singing now for Krishna, because you want to be a pujari which brings the people to Krishna. You want to open the sacred space for the people to also meet the Lord on that space. And once you enter this, it's very, very good. Now, I want to say at the end, sometimes in the kirtan world, there is in the traditional kirtan world, I'm not speaking of what, you know, I'm speaking of 15th century, there was a discussion, what is more important, the devotional mood or the tal, rhythm and the raga and so on. And I feel there was even then an unnecessary quarrel. I think when you are sincerely wanting to serve Krishna, you will of course take care that your melodies are appealing, that the rhythm is there, that the madanga is not too loud and not too soft. You will of course think about all these things. I don't think they are mutually exclusive, like it is sometimes even in the discussion in our movement. There are sometimes the people who say, no, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sang with a voice which couldn't keep the melody, that's the style we should do. No, this is when you sing for Krishna, you want to sing beautifully for Krishna. No, it's like when you cook and you want to please someone, it's not that you feel, I want to please someone, let it taste like nothing, or even worse than nothing. You know, no, you will cook very nicely. You will use the spicing very delicately and very nicely. You will think, should we start on C or better C sharp? And so on. I'm learning all these things from Gokrishna. So, because I notice, I don't have musical skills, but I want to do it as good as I can, and I want to learn, and I want to improve, and so on and so forth. Especially when you present kirtan to the outside world, it should be done tastefully and musically appealing and with various things. But you should know in your heart, I am a priest of the holy name. I want to open a sacred dimension, and I want people to experience the Lord in an altar and have a relationship. So therefore, if you really, if three words are also a little bit too much to remember, then one word, priest. No, that please take this with you, and you will have a good guiding force, God, guiding light that will help you to improve your kirtan. Good. Hogya, finished. And now there is also prasadam is available. You please address your guests.
All right, well, so many more. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for coming. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Thank you, Maharaj.